And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sidney Wildsmith.
As someone who cares about the environment, you know that who we have as president does matter. Well, it's that time in the election year when we have to start getting serious and choosing who we feel will best serve the nation's and the world's environmental future. And that's why today, I endorse Barack Obama for president. The reason? Stay tuned.
Did you know, back in 1970, we imported 24% of our oil, and by 1990, it was 42%. Today, it's almost 70% and climbing every minute. Over $700 billion are leaving this country to foreign nations every year. That's four times the cost of the Iraqi war, and it's killing our economy. It'll be the largest transfer of wealth in the history of mankind. We don't need any more talk. We need action, and we need a plan. And it's got to be the top priority of the next president and the next Congress. I'm T. Boone Pickens. I've been an oil man my whole life, but this is one emergency we can't drill our way out of. And I have a plan. In the coming weeks, I'm going to share the details of that plan to use American technology and alternative energy to slash our dependency and break foreign oil's stranglehold on us. It's our crisis, and we can solve it.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
America and the world have learned the hard way that choosing America's president has real consequences. In many ways, the world is becoming more real all the time. Whereas in the past, we could squabble over ideological differences, as we did for nearly 50 years as communism and capitalism faced off in cold and hot wars, we now share such an interlinked future with immediate consequences that who is our next president will be felt quickly around the world. And as the world becomes ever smaller, with the impact of globalization being felt everywhere, who administers America's footprint on the planet will be felt and responded to directly. I'm glad the Wildside News is not a nonprofit 501c3 organization, because if it were, I could not say what I'm about to say. But as an independent voice in and for the wilderness and the wild and the wonder, I am free to speak my mind. I'm endorsing Barack Obama for president. It probably comes as no big shock to anyone. After all, I'm an environmentalist, and we environmentalists tend to trek left for good reason. We who profess a kinship with the wild understand that everything is interconnected, that there are limits to populations, that animals and plants, and we humans as well, do not cohabit well with pollution, toxins, bulldozers, and bombs. So we tend to favor open spaces, wild places, peace, and sustainability. We like our wild, wild. We like our sacred places saved. How it used to be matters to us, and we romantically dream that such is good and desirable and worthy of our children's opportunity to experience and learn from nature. And the prospect that a peaceful, sustainable world is achievable indeed rests in the hands and heart of the next president. And now more than ever, we need as president someone who will make decisions based on good common sense. And this need for a wise decider to take over, probably more than any other, is what drives me to stand with Barack Obama. So what is the basis for my decision? First and foremost, we need someone who gives the impression that truth and reason matter, that facts need to be on the table, and good judgment the operative basis for talking at all.
When it comes to our economy, our security, and the very future of our planet, the choices we make in November and over the next few years will shape the next decade, if not the next the next century. And central to all these major challenges is the question of what will we do about our addiction to foreign oil. Despite all this, here we are in another election, still talking about our oil addiction, still more dependent than ever. Why is that? You won't hear me say this too often, but I could not agree more with the explanation that Senator McCain offered a few weeks ago. He said, and I quote, "Our dangerous dependence on foreign oil has been 30 years in the making and was caused by the failures of politicians in Washington to think long term about the future of the country." Now, what Senator McCain neglected to mention was during those 30 years, he was in Washington for 26 of them.
Barack Obama is a man who carries satchels of facts to the table and is willing to let us take a look. On the other hand, I've grown weary, tired, disgusted with the smarmy spin on truth that the Rove-led campaigns rely on. And his footprints are all over the current new ads from McCain. I start with a campaign ad from John McCain as to what has caused the high oil prices.
$5, no end in sight. Because some in Washington are still saying no to drilling in America. No to independence from foreign oil. Who can you thank for rising prices at the pump? One man knows we must now drill more in America and rescue our family budgets. Don't hope for more energy. Vote for it. McCain.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Now, quite frankly, this is goofy. Obama is no more responsible for the current high oil prices than is the Easter Bunny, or even Paris Hilton. I believe a more accurate argument that the reason we are faced with such oil prices is due largely to downright rejection over the last 40 years of energy experts, environmentalists, and the public that welcomed investments and a commitment to alternative energy sources. It was, after all, Ronald Reagan who tore down the solar panels on the White House. It has also to do with a rejection of real science that over the past 40 years has talked about limits, limits to growth, limited resources, and a need to develop strategies and systems that embrace these truths. But alas, the oil companies and their cronies painted us with tar and set us up as whiners, weenies, and anti-business, anti-American environmental wackos. I believe we were generally labeled by big oil interests who reside in Dick Cheney's pockets. That is as good an explanation as any as to what is now causing the high oil prices. If we had followed the wisdom of good science over the last four decades, we'd be energy independent by now. We've battled with this faction, certainly represented by the greasy politics of the Bush administration, and here we are.
And in all that time, he did little to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. He voted against increased fuel efficiency standards and opposed legislation that included tax credits for more efficient cars. He voted against renewable sources of energy, against clean biofuels, against solar power, against wind power, against an energy bill that, while far from perfect, represented the largest investment in renewable sources of energy in the history of this country. So when Senator McCain talks about the failure of politicians in Washington to do anything about our energy crisis, it's important to remember that he's been part of that failure. And now, after years of inaction, in the face of public frustration over rising gas prices, the only energy proposal he's really promoting is more offshore drilling, a position he recently adopted that's become the centerpiece of his plan, and one that will not make a real dent in current gas prices or meet the long-term challenge of energy independence.
Drill, drill, drill is a bit shrill, but it is the mantra of McCain. And for those in the West who value their lands and lifestyles, a McCain future will change the face of your lands forever. As oil companies move in, set up shop, and, well, for those who've witnessed it, people get run over, run out, and scammed. Westerners deserve a real future, preservation of their values and families, and the best future will come as jobs in clean tech manufacturing spread into their towns, ensuring a healthy future for themselves and their family and their children. A future betting on oil is giving in. Don't give in. fight for what's right. The West has always been filled with the independent spirits. The real West knows the truth. We can do this.
Even Texas oil man Boone Pickens. And Boone's not a Democrat. Who's calling for major new investments in alternative energy has said, quote, "This is one emergency we can't drill our way out of." That's Boone Pickens, an oil man, made his money drilling. Now, increased domestic oil exploration certainly has its place as we make our economy more fuel efficient and transition to other renewable American-made sources of energy. But it's not the solution. It's a political answer of the sort Washington has given us for three decades.
On Monday, Barack Obama delivered an energy speech in which he addressed, in his way, this fact.
Energy independence will require an all-hands-on-deck effort from America. Efforts from scientists and entrepreneurs, from businesses, and from every American citizen. Factories will have to retool and redesign. Businesses will need to find ways to emit less carbon dioxide. All of us will need to buy more fuel-efficient cars built by this state of Michigan.
To be fair, I do believe that McCain has a green ankle. I think he appreciates nature, unlike the current president who seems numb to whole segments of reality. He has acknowledged the existence of global warming and made a truly common-sense case for developing clean tech solutions. This is a quote from Mr. McCain. "Suppose that climate change is not real, and we do adopt green technologies, which our economy and technology are capable of. Then all we've done is given our kids a cleaner world. But suppose that climate change is real, and we've done nothing. What kind of planet are we going to pass on to the next generation? It's real. We've got to address it with technology, with cap and trade, with capitalist and free enterprise motivation. We can pass on to our children and grandchildren a cleaner, better world." Now that's good. John McCain made an excellent point. And so I have to reach deeper to find the basis for my endorsement of Barack Obama, and that is, in fact, based on a broader understanding of the options the two candidates appear to embrace. To put it as succinctly as possible, I believe it does come down to old politics versus the new, framed as follows. McCain's real passion, when you shoot through his fudgy messaging, is that the future is nuclear. But when you take a close look at a nuclear future, it actually becomes unclear. And it is drilling. McCain accommodates wind and solar, but gets downright aroused about a nuclear future. Listen to this ad.
"Much of the world's oil supply is controlled by states, regimes, and a cartel for which America's well-being is not exactly a priority. We must shift our entire energy economy toward new and cleaner power sources, such as wind, solar, biofuels. It will include a variety of new automotive and fuel technologies, clean burning coal and nuclear energy. The next president must be willing to break with the energy policies, not just of the current administration, but the administrations that preceded it, and lead a great national campaign to achieve energy security for America. I know how to do that, and I will do it, my friends."
Here is McCain talking about subsidizing the move to energy independence. "I'm not one who believes that we need to subsidize things. The wind industry is doing fine. The solar industry is doing fine. In the 70s, we gave too many subsidies and too much help, and we had substandard products sold to the American people, which then made them disenchanted with solar for a long time." Not in favor of subsidies. However, McCain's own climate change bill provides billions to help nuclear power. Yet while McCain mentions solar and wind on the campaign trail, the energy plan on his website barely mentions them, while specifying his support for nuclear power. From his website, this is a quote. "John McCain will put his administration on track to construct 45 new nuclear power plants by 2030, with the goal of eventually constructing 100 new nuclear power plants." John McCain's energy future is based on the old politics because both nuclear and drilling rely entirely on centralized power production sites and rely on limited resources. The power and stranglehold that the oil companies and energy companies have been able to maintain and fight to maintain is that it derives from massive sources, whether it be large-scale coal-fired or natural gas power plants. The requirements to distribute energy from these centralized sources are what keep us all tied down, and significantly will keep the jobs necessary to construct new nuclear power plants confined to a very limited old-tech spectrum. On the other hand, Obama emphasizes a wide variety of clean tech sources.
So if I am president, I will immediately direct the full resources of the federal government and the full energy of the private sector, working with state and local governments to achieve a single overarching goal. In 10 years, we will eliminate the need for oil from the entire Middle East and Venezuela. In 10 years' time. 10 years is how long it's going to take. There are three major steps I'll take to achieve this goal, steps that will yield real results by the end of my first term in office. First, we will help states like Michigan build the fuel-efficient cars we need, and we will get 1,150-mile-per-gallon plug-in hybrids on our roads made in America within 6 years' time. We can do that. We can do that. So as president, I'm going to accelerate these efforts to meet our urgent need. With technology we have on the shelf today, we're going to increase fuel mileage standards 4% every year. We'll invest more in the research and development of those plug-in hybrids, specifically focusing on battery technology. We will leverage private sector funding to bring these cars directly to American consumers. We'll give consumers a $7,000 tax credit to buy these vehicles. Most importantly, I will provide $4 billion in loans and tax credits to American auto plants and manufacturers so that they can retool their factories and start building these cars now, right now. The second step I'll take is to require that 10% of our energy comes from renewable sources by the end of my first term. To meet these goals, we will invest more in the clean technology research and development that's occurring in labs and research facilities all across this country and right here at MSU. I'll also extend the production tax credit for 5 years to encourage the production of renewable energy like wind power, solar power, and geothermal energy. In addition, we'll find safer ways to use nuclear power and store nuclear waste. And we'll invest in the technology that will allow us to use more coal, America's most abundant energy source, with the goal of creating 5 first-of-a-kind coal-fired demonstration plants with carbon capture and sequestration so they're not adding to global warming. Now, of course, too often the problem is that all this new energy technology never makes it out of the lab and onto the market because there's too much risk, too much cost involved by starting commercial-scale clean energy businesses. So we will remove some of this cost and this risk by directing billions in loans and capital to entrepreneurs who are willing to create clean energy businesses and clean energy jobs right here in America. As we develop new sources of energy and electricity, we will also need to modernize our national utility grid so it's accommodating new sources of power, more efficient and more reliable sources of power. And that's an investment that will also create hundreds of thousands of jobs, and one that I will make as president. Finally, the third step I'll take is to call on businesses, government, and the American people to meet the goal of reducing our demand for electricity 15% by the end of the next decade. And this is by far the fastest, easiest, cheapest way to reduce our energy consumption. It will save us $130 billion on our energy bills. We will set a goal of making our new buildings 50% more efficient over the next 4 years. We'll follow the lead of California and change the way utilities make money so their profits aren't tied to how much energy we use, but how much energy we save.
The important change that such offers is that it will first and foremost create a widely distributed system of energy production from all sectors of our communities, from roof-based solar systems to massive arrays, from remote wind generators permitting people to live off the grid, to distributed wind farms throughout much of the U.S. This totally redefines our distribution system from interstate power grids to local, neighborhood, and community systems. And equally as important, it will inspire a whole new matrix of interlocking technologies that improve efficiency, diversity into solar, wind, hydrogen, ethanol, wave, and a myriad new showcase of materials based on nanotechnologies. These will become the new technologies driving the emergence of thousands of new businesses that never existed before, creating jobs, thousands and even millions of new jobs that build a new way.
So there is a real choice in this election, Lansing, a choice about what kind of future we want for this country and this planet. I won't pretend that the goals I laid out today aren't ambitious. They are. I won't pretend we can't achieve them without cost or without sacrifice or without the contribution of almost every American citizen. But I will say that these goals are possible. I will say these goals are achievable, and I will say that achieving them is absolutely necessary if we want to keep America safe and prosperous in the 21st century.
It is the difference of vision that makes all the difference for me. That and the fact that Barack Obama is younger, funnier, friendlier, and just plain more hip than John McCain. We can get this done. Anyone who thinks that America cannot achieve real energy independence and restructure our society in the immediate future should probably move to Russia, where an old oil energy czar has tied their future to the plodding sludge of the pump jack pimps. I know we can get this done. I believe in America, and so does Barack Obama.
We can do this because we're Americans. We always do the improbable. We always beat great odds. We always rally together whatever challenge stands in our way. That's what we've always done, and that's what we must do now.
I'm betting my life on Barack Obama. I believe that his new energy will spread around the world and restore hope to humanity, and that will make a real difference. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again next Tuesday or any time on the archives when your voice of the earth rings out around the world here on Wild Side News.